So we are continuing in our sermon series on mountains in Matthew. We are taking a look at another mountain event, and this centers around the concept of prayer. And I don't think that any of us would say that prayer is not an essential part of a Christian's life. I think almost all of us would believe that without a doubt, prayer is essential to who we are. The Bible talks about the essentiality of prayer. Over 100 different people in the Bible spent time directly in prayer. There are 220 prayers recorded in Scripture. There are 640 references to prayer. Jesus taught on prayer, especially when he was asked by his disciples, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so he gave them, most notably, the words of the Lord's model prayer. But Jesus also spent time in prayer. He didn't just teach things, he modeled them. The Gospels describe at least 25 times when Jesus participated in prayer. He prayed for food, he prayed for wisdom, he prayed for God to be glorified, he prayed for people to be unified, he even prayed for people in the future who would believe. Of course, he can do that because he can see the future and he knows who's going to be available. He prayed in homes. He prayed in the synagogue. He prayed before he healed people. He prayed in the temple. He prayed in the countryside. He prayed along the river. And a few times, he prayed on the mountain. One of those times is recorded in Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Bible says, one of those days Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Immediately following that prayer, in Luke chapter 6, Jesus selected his 12 apostles. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 36, we find that Jesus and his disciples went to the Mount of Olives, where Jesus prayed such an agonizing prayer that he even sweat drops of blood. And we know what happened immediately after this time of prayer. He went to the cross where he was crucified. But our text today has another time where Jesus was on a mountain and he was praying. It has a parallel in Mark chapter 6. And in both of those passages, Jesus again sent the multitudes away, and he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Jesus is retreating to the mountain, again, for a very specific reason. And I'd like to read some of the verses ahead and behind so that we get a little bit of the context of this. If you have your Bibles, you can turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to start with verse 18. Jesus, by the way, has just finished feeding 5,000 people with a boy's lunch. You know that story. That's in Matthew chapter 14. As evening approached, the disciples were saying, you know, how are we going to feed all these people? And so Jesus took care of that. Okay, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves, and then he gave them to the disciples. The disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. Okay, so this was a lot of people. Immediately, okay, there's no time that has passed. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. Now that would be the Sea of Galilee, where while he dismissed the crowd, and after he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the water, and when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And I think you probably know the rest of that story, because Peter challenges Jesus and says, "Okay, if it's really you, have me get out of the boat and come and walk to you." And that doesn't necessarily go well for Peter, until Jesus reaches down and grabs him by the hand and pulls him, and they get back into the boat, and then Jesus calms the water. The interesting thing to me about this is, stuck between two really massive events, the feeding of the 5,000 and the stilling of the water and showing all kinds of power in both times, is this little verse where Jesus goes by himself up on a mountain to pray. Now, there's a lot of lessons that we can learn. We understand, first of all, that prayer for Jesus is not an event. It's a lifestyle. It's a vital part of his life. He didn't pray just when he was involved in synagogue worship. He didn't wait for Saturday Sabbath to offer the recited prayers that were required by all Jewish people. Prayer wasn't just a ritual that he did once a week on Sunday, because that's what you do in church. Prayer was a lifestyle for Jesus. Prayer happened constantly and continually. In fact, some people have said that Jesus needed prayer as much as he needed a heartbeat and oxygen. And it isn't just that Jesus needs that. That is a lesson for all of us. And yet, so many times, we relegate prayer to, well, we better pray before we eat, we better pray before we go to bed, and boy, we really better pray if we're in the hospital. And we relegate prayer to those times. But other than that, when else do we pray? Is prayer our lifestyle or not? I've heard people talk about this thing called their prayer life. You ever hear that phrase? You know, people have often said, "Tell me about your prayer life." What does that mean? Is prayer your life? Then why do we use the word if it's not our life? Oftentimes we should probably say, "Tell me about your prayer habits," or your ability to pray once in a while, once in a great while. But a prayer life, if we're going to use the term, we better really mean that life and prayer are intertwined. That's the first lesson that I find. Prayer needs to truly be our lifestyle, not just something that we do on occasions. And it was for Jesus. We also learn that Jesus prayed intentionally. Prayer was not just something that he did flippantly or thoughtlessly or with insincerity. There are no examples of Jesus saying, "Yo, God, what you up, dude?" And yet when I was in college 1,000 years ago, I had a friend who said, "You know, you should be able to talk to God just like you talk to any friend." So I always start my prayers with, "Hey, dude, what's up?" I can't do that. If I ever did that, you'd better walk away, because lightning's going to strike. I really believe that we need to pray intentionally. Whether Jesus was seeking God's guidance, whether he was making a significant decision like choosing the disciples, whether he was expressing gratitude for God's blessings, his prayers were heartfelt, they were sincere. We should approach God with the same intensity. Now, we don't have a problem praying with intensity if somebody's life is on the line, if we're praying for somebody's health, if we're praying for something that we really want God to interact. If we have a major decision, we're okay with getting real intense with God and real intentional with God. But what about every day? Do we have the same intentionality in our prayers? I think Jesus did. I don't ever find where Jesus approached God in prayer in a flippant or an insincere kind of a way. And I think we need to learn lessons about that. I also think Jesus prayed regularly and consistently. It was a part of his daily routine. You see, Jesus was not only the Son of God, he was also fully human, and he depended on a deep and continuous relationship with God the Father. Now, this is one of those concepts that is hard for a lot of people to grasp, and I don't think anybody is ever going to fully wrap their mind around it, but Jesus prayed to God the Father, and yet Jesus was God the Father. Yeah, good luck figuring that one out. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how Jesus can be fully divine and fully human, but he was. And the Bible is very clear that he prayed to God. But Jesus didn't pray only before he ate or went to bed. He didn't just pray the recited prayers at certain times of the day because that was the Jewish requirement and the Jewish ritual. He didn't wait to communicate with God only when there was a crisis or an emergency or a tragedy. He prayed without ceasing. It was a part of his daily life. It was a part of his regular routine. And he expected his disciples to do the same thing. And I think that we often forget that Jesus also prayed with his whole being. You see, sometimes we just pray with our head. You know, it's an intellectual thing. We need to pray because, well, it's an intellectual thing. Or we pray just, you know, because, well, it's expected. That's what we do at this particular time in church. We say this particular prayer. We recite these particular words. We do it in a particular manner. And so it just becomes, well, you know, that's what we do. And so we better do it because if we don't do it, well, then somehow we're missing out. But Jesus prayed with his whole being, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus prayed in anguish. He prayed in grief. He prayed in joy. He prayed in compassion. He prayed from his intellect when he needed to make wise decisions, wise and godly decisions. He prayed when his body needed physical care. He prayed for others. He prayed for their maturing faith. He prayed in worship to give God the glory and the praise and the honor that he deserved. He prayed in thanksgiving, even when his life was threatened. The only prayer that Jesus never prayed was a prayer of confession, because he had no sin. That is a prayer that I think we need to be praying more often. It helps to eliminate our selfishness when we pray in confession. You see, it's okay when you're praying if your prayers cause you to cry. That's okay. It's okay if when you're praying, your prayers cause you to laugh. Sometimes God does funny things. It's okay when you're praying to just feel so burdened by your own weight of sin that you don't have words to express it. It's okay to pray with your entire being. And it's okay to just be quiet. You see, prayer isn't always about what you say. Prayer isn't always about the words that you utter. Do you think that when Jesus went up on the mountain to pray that he spent the entire time talking? I don't think so. I think he spent a tremendous amount of time just communing and being real before God. All night is a long time. I'll be honest with you, I never prayed all night. But it's okay to be broken by the Holy Spirit and to be real before God, and it's okay to just bask in the presence of the Holy One in an attitude of prayer. Now, those are some general lessons that Jesus, as a praying person, teaches me, but there are also some specific lessons about his mountain experience of prayer that he teaches me through this passage. One of those is that some prayers need to be done in solitude. As I've already mentioned, Jesus went to the mountain alone, not to get away from God, but to get away from people. I've heard it said more than once, ministry would be awesome if you didn't have to deal with people. And sometimes that's true. Sometimes you just need to get away. Jesus had just spent time with 10, 15, 20,000 people all clamoring for his attention, all listening to him preach, all starving and needing some kind of a food or some kind of a meal. And when that was done, Jesus got away from the people. He got away from ministry. He got away from the distractions of life. There was no cell phone. There was no TV. There was no noise. There was no food on the table. There was no hospital bed with a sick person in it. It was just Jesus and God in the mountain. Sometimes you need that. But oftentimes we don't give ourselves time to get away because we live in a driven, production-oriented world where if we were to spend even an hour by ourselves in the woods and say that we're just communing with God, people would look at us and say, you could have used that time better. You could have been more productive. Why didn't you at least bring your Bible and at least read? Our world hates stillness. Our world doesn't appreciate the value of spending time in solitude. But getting away can be very spiritual. Many people just do not know how to be still and know that He is God. They've got to have music going. They've got to have their phone with them. They've got to have all kinds of distractions. They've got to have people around them. Why? Well, because if I'm by myself, then that means I have to let God actually deal with me. And I don't want Him to deal with me. And yet that's exactly what Jesus needed. Some time alone. Jesus was able to quiet His mind. And He was able to just be with God. Solitude is hard. I think maybe that's one of the reasons why it is taught in Scripture that it's okay. The other thing about this mountain prayer of Jesus is that Jesus' mountain prayer was a time to recharge. Ministry is taxing. People's lives are messy. It can be exhausting. I cannot imagine the amount of energy Jesus expended in feeding the 5,000 plus, or healing everyone that came to Him with lameness and blindness and leprosy and demon possession. I mean, He needed more than just a 20-minute power nap. He needed prayer. Prayer does not mean that we are always talking. He just simply needed to plug into God, plug into the power source, just be with God and recharge. No expectations, no ministry requirements. Just recharge in your spirit. Again, it's difficult because we are so programmed to have to go, do, that we just can't be in the presence of a holy God. The next lesson that I learned from this particular mountain time is that Jesus prepared through prayer. He prepared for the challenges. In this case, He had just gotten done ministering to a large group of people. He needed time to recharge and to be just with God, but He also knew that there was some things that were coming up. Did Jesus know that as soon as He was done with His time of prayer, when He went down the mountain, He was going to be walking into a storm? Yeah, I think He did. The disciples didn't know it. They were just in the boat crossing the sea. I think Jesus needed to pray so that He could be ready to face the next storm that was going to face Him, the next challenge of ministry. And in this case, it was not only going to be the challenge of dealing with His own disciples, but also the challenge of calming the storm. And it all happened so fast. But Jesus, because of prayer, was ready for the next storm. You see, most people are not proactive when it comes to dealing with the storms in their life. They wait for the storm to happen, and then they quick We better go to God in prayer. Hopefully God will give us the strength that we need to get through this storm. Well, what if you had prayed beforehand? Because I guarantee you, storms are going to happen. There's going to be deaths in the family. There's going to be things that you never expected that are going to happen. There's going to be stuff completely outside of your control. God is going to speak something through somebody else to you that's going to cause you to say, oh no, I've got to deal with this. What if you had prayed in advance for the strength to be able to handle the next storm? You see, what ultimately happens after Jesus has his communication with the disciples and gets Peter back on board, stills the water. Do you know what happens next? They go to the other side of the lake, and guess what? The Bible says when they had crossed over, they landed in Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country, and people brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. It doesn't end. The ministry just keeps happening. The needs are all around. But Jesus had spent time preparing in prayer. Sometimes we don't prepare in prayer. You see, through prayer, Jesus was ready to meet any challenge that Satan threw his way. But it happened not because of who he was, but because of who he connected to. You see, this leads me to the last lesson. Prayer is a declaration of dependence upon God. Jesus prayed in humble dependence on God. He didn't seek God's guidance. He didn't seek the guidance or the wisdom of the philosophies of his age. He sought guidance and wisdom from God. He fully depended upon God. Nothing on this earth provides fulfillment, meaning, or purpose like being fully engulfed in God our Father. Not your jobs, not your health, not your family. I know these are all important things, but none of them can get you to heaven. And yet we spend so much time on all of these other things, but we neglect to spend time with God. We do it on our, you know, maybe our morning devotion. We do it on our Sunday time in worship. But it is not a routine thing. It is not a daily thing. It is not as common to us as breathing and our heartbeat. We need to humbly and fully depend upon God for everything. Everything. And I know that you've heard that from this pulpit. I've said it numerous times. It doesn't change. The reality doesn't change. God does everything. He is sovereign. That's what a king does. And Jesus was fully dependent upon God. Nothing on this earth provides that meaning and purpose like being fully engulfed in God the Father. And Jesus was fully engulfed in God. You see, sometimes we need a mountaintop experience of prayer. Sometimes we need to go to the mountain, because in that solitude, in that quietness, in that stillness, in that communion, in that fellowship just between you and God, there are blessings. We all need to remember who we are and who God is. Who we are and who God is. We need time with God in prayer. So don't neglect that relationship. Don't neglect that relationship, because only that relationship provides real, true meaning. Other relationships, family and friends, they're fine, they're important, but none of those are eternal. Only your relationship with God. So spend time in prayer. And if you need to go on a mountain and pray to God and just be alone with Him, do it. It is time well spent. You will recharge, you will be blessed, and you will humbly be dependent upon God your Father. hopefully it's a lesson that we all learn. If you struggle with prayer, just know that Jesus has given you some amazing examples.